Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into A to Z Sports Prime Time on this Wednesday night from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising. I'm proud, as always, to be presented to you by the great people at Zen Sports. Zen Sports is your place to wager on college basketball. At conference tournaments are ongoing. Conference tournaments they've already started, as a matter of fact, and certainly they will be in Nashville next week. Up to $1,000 on your no-danger first wager is what Zen Sports offers you. And TrueMav Fitness in the Gulch, you know it's my favorite place to work out at TrueMav Fitness. In fact, I'll be there tomorrow morning at 7:45. So if you want to get an early morning workout in, you can get your first workout free with me, as a matter of fact, at TrueMav Fitness. Looking forward to catching up with my guy, Worth Campbell. Huge Titans fan and the best personal trainer around. TrueMavFitness.com for more information. Looking at what we have here with the Tennessee Titans and the free agency wish list that I have compiled, there's a couple of different players who obviously Titans fans were interested who won't hit the market. There's a couple of different names who are tagged that the Titans have at least called about in terms of like L'Jarius Sneed, the franchise tagged corner for the Kansas City Chiefs. There has also been contact between the Raiders and the Titans about the idea of potentially trading up, how real that ends up being. We've got more than a month to figure that out. But in the meantime, I've compiled my Titans free agency wish list, and I'm going to bounce it off you guys. The question that I want to ask you to start the broadcast is this on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. What position would you prioritize for the Titans in free agency? So not a player, but a position. Which one would you prioritize in the comment section? Let me know. Go Big Orange, says Billy Jones. Yes, again, congratulations to everybody who's a Vols fan tonight. Let's see, Chris Jones. Well, that's a player. We'll talk player specific. I'm asking position group. Don't give me specific players right now. Give me the position group that you would most be comfortable pursuing or prioritizing in free agency. Corey D. Jackson says corner, kicker for Stephen King. That's a big one. Secondary just generally, so not just corner, because you need corners, you need safeties. You don't have you've got one corner and one safety right now that are worth a damn. The rest of it's just kind of a mess. Offensive line, says Jimmy Chestnut. OL, 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 OL. I see a lot of OLs in there. Left tackle, says Billy Jones. Well, of course, that is flat out wrong. Billy, you're not going to pursue a left tackle in free agency, because if you do, you end up with the likes of Andre Dillard, and you don't want to live that life again, do you? I see a couple of you saying left tackle. Guys, we've been over this a million and one times. How the hell are you going to prioritize? Well, I mean, listen, it's your opinion. You're allowed to have your opinion. I just happen to think that one's a pretty misguided one, given that you don't find available, reliable, or frankly, very good left tackles in free agency. Those guys don't hit the market. But like I said, you're entitled to your opinion. If left tackle is a position group that you want to prioritize in free agency, may God have mercy on your soul. But for me, I have taken a look at this over and over and over again, and I'm going to expand on that here in just a second, right after I remind you that the Primetime Program and your Two Rivers Ford Take are presented by Two Rivers Ford. The South's most trusted Ford dealership is Two Rivers Ford. They are always there for you. Whether you want to buy all of their new non-specialty Fords or any of their new non-specialty Fords below MSRP, Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com, they are there for you. They have been there for Middle Tennesseans for the last 40 years. That's why I'm a customer. That's why DeAndre Hopkins is a customer. tworiversford.com for more information. Position groups that you would like to prioritize in free agency. Billy Jones says kicker. Jose, pass rusher. Wide receiver, says Huncho Grind. DBs, period, Amar says. Corners or safety. Any thoughts on Becton from the Jets, says Ricky W? I almost said the F word. No. No, I don't want Mekhi Becton. The Jets are arguably the only offensive line in the National Football League that was shittier than yours last year. You want to add a player from that to make your group better? No. I want to trust you in your opinions, but sometimes you guys say things that are just crazy, and that's okay. Like I said, you're entitled to your opinion. It's my job to kind of help guide you as best I can and to provide you with as much information as humanly possible. But bleep no, I don't want Mekhi Becton from the Jets. You guys are nuts. So the position, though, that I would prioritize in free agency is the offensive line, but not the left tackle. The player that I want to prioritize in, or the position group that I want to prioritize in free agency, is the center. Now, we have the video of Jason Kelce retiring. He's obviously not going to be a free agent, but the veteran center market is a fascinating one. And I'm going to expand on this here in just a second, but here is a clip of the Buffalo Bills, who are currently tearing down their roster because their salary cap is a mess and they're still not out of the red right now, even with all the different transactions they made today. Mitch Morse is their veteran center that they've released. I'm not saying that I want Mitch Morse, but if you're asking me what position group I would absolutely prioritize in free agency, interior offensive line, center, and guards, this is a pretty good free agent class.
The Buffalo Bills were over the cap by a lot, by tens of millions of dollars, about $40 million, a little more over the cap. Still working to get there, but they had to make the kind of painful decisions that very good team with a lot, teams with a lot of high-priced good players have to make eventually. If you want to keep this going, if you want to remain in the playoffs, you want to do it with a quarterback that's getting paid a lot of money, you got to make some tough choices and cut some respected veterans. We'll start with a player who was not cut, though. Von Miller, sources say, has redone his deal, took his base salary of around $17.145 million, took it down to about $8.5 million fully guaranteed. So he gave up about $2 million of guaranteed money with incentives, does have the chance to make up to $20 million. But the fact that Von Miller took his salary all the way down, this show you, one, the realities of what the Bills had to do, two, where Von Miller is in his career. Meanwhile, some of the players who did get released, Tre'Davious White, the former star cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, he saved $10.2 million against the cap, but only after June 1st, a post-June 1 release for Tre'Davious White. Jordan Poyer, the former starting safety for the Buffalo Bills, $7.5 million salary cap number, another respected veteran in this locker room who has been informed of his release. And then Mitch Morse, who has been the starting center for the last several years, due $8.5 million in salary this year. He also has been released. Now, Connor McGovern was a guard. He is going to move to center, but a tough, tough day, but a necessary day for the Buffalo Bills.
So that's Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network detailing the amount of different moves that the Bills have had to make and are still in the red in the salary cap. Mitch Morse, the veteran center, among them, but hardly the last cut that they will continue to make. You've got a variety of different players who are out there, and just kind of peeling through the interior offensive line class, because there are quite a few that I think make a lot of sense for the Titans to add. In particular, as you look at the interior offensive line, Michael Wenu, who we talked about yesterday, he's played guard and tackle. Robert Hunt of the Miami Dolphins, he is a guard primarily. Lloyd Cushenberry, the Broncos center, is an interesting player in all of this. Mitch Morse has now been added to that list. Connor Williams, Jonah Jackson, Kevin Zeitler. Veteran centers and veteran interior offensive linemen are the priorities here. Because the worst thing that I think you can do, not the worst thing that I think you can do for Will Levis, it's not the worst thing, but I don't want Will Levis having to worry about a rookie center, right? I want Will Levis to be helped by a veteran center who can continue to help him work through what it is the rigors of the NFL present, right? Where he's not having to set protections on top of diagnosing defenses, on top of getting wide receivers in the new spot, on top of learning a new offense. I'm going to sneeze at some point here. I can feel it coming on. The worst thing that could happen is if this sneeze just sits here at the top of my nose, which would be unfortunate because I can just feel it burning. It's unpleasant. But as I look at it, as I look at it, it just makes so much more sense to have a veteran, trusted, reliable center to help bring this young quarterback along. Now, at some point, sure, you're going to have to draft a center, and Ben Jones has bailed you out for many, many years. Rishi says, Buck allergic to the bullshit. Yeah, perpetually. And there are some bullshit in the comment section. Absolutely. Like Ricky W, who's bitching and moaning because I made fun of his ridiculous idea to pursue Mekhi Becton, potentially, but killing me because I asked about a player mentioned on the station he works for, and the jackass Buck told us Mariota was great for 4 years. Well, of course I didn't say that, Ricky, because I wasn't. That's just factually inaccurate. So if you would like to act like a jackass and lash out like a child and be petulant in the comment section and boo-hoo cry about the idea that you want possibly the worst, possibly an addition from the worst offensive line in the sport last year that they're having to try and figure out, and that whole coaching staff and front office are working for their jobs next year. It is one of the most ridiculous things that you can do to further look like a jackass yourself by being petulant in the comment section, because not a single solitary soul is going to agree with you, because you know what? They also think it's a jackass position to be interested in Mekhi Becton. It furthers the situation that you're obviously not paying attention to what the offensive line situation is currently like at that in the league, that, or you're just completely oblivious to what your problems as an offensive line group is. It's okay, Ricky. That's why we're here for you. You're going to watch the tape. You're going to improve theoretically, or you could not and continue to be a petulant child in the comment section for us all to make fun of, but that's okay. It's choose your own adventure around here, bud. That's why we love the primetime show. So as we continue to look at the various different teams that the various different free agent options that are available out there. Now, potentially you could trade for tackles that are available. Tackles that are available are not worth giving up draft capital for. It would be completely foolish to continue to pursue castoffs the way that you did. Have you not learned your lesson as far as castoffs go by paying Andre Dillard $29 million last year? That is why I want nothing to do with tackles on the free agent market, left tackles on the free agent market specifically. Owenu is an interesting one because he plays both guard and right tackle. But certainly I would want, if I'm a Titans fan, if I'm Rand Carthon, I want to draft a left tackle that I'm not going to have to worry about for the next 10 years, 8 to 10 years, right? Be done with it. What Lawan was supposed to be or potentially be, and you can move on with the rest of your football team, because that's a foundational cornerstone piece. And I think that when you look at all of the different ways to address it, the best players are not going to be put up for trade. The best players are not going to be put up for or allowed to walk into free agency. And I just don't understand why anybody would continue to try and piecemeal together one of the most important positions, one of the most premium positions in the NFL right now. So for me, priority-wise, it would be a veteran center. I think there's a variety of different players that I would also like, so I don't have a particular center. Cushenberry is interesting to me. I'd be curious to see what his market value is, and we'll start to get those details here in the next couple of weeks. I would be interested in Gardner Minshew as a backup quarterback. I would certainly be interested in Calvin Ridley, who we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Running back-wise, in a perfect world, I would like to see Derrick Henry come back. Somebody asked me today a question on the A to Z Sports Instagram Q&A that we do about the Titans. What had a better percentage chance of happening? Derrick Henry returning to the Titans or AJ Brown staying off social media? And honestly, the answer is probably AJ, because Derrick is at peace with this. He gave his goodbye speech. He's, down in Dallas right now. He's currently working out. He has no idea where he's going to end up. When I checked in on it yesterday, still kind of out there, nebulously awaiting offers and awaiting how much different the running back free agent class could look, and has now definitely taken that pivot now that Saquon Barkley isn't going to be tagged and Josh Jacobs is obviously going to be out there, and you continue to see guys who are going to populate that free agent running back list. It's a fascinating list. Derrick Henry would be my preference, but I completely understand why Derrick, one, wouldn't want to come back here. Two, would want to play for a more competitive franchise in the immediate, right? Doesn't mean that the Titans can't be there eventually. It just means that they're not really where he needs them to be right now. And that he's basically been at peace with that idea for a year, because there was the rumors that they tried to shop him last year at the combine. Rand Carthon shot all that down. But you guys remember back in October when I told you that the Ravens were very interested in him at the trade deadline. The Ravens continue to have interest in Derrick Henry. So Robert and his Ratbirds rejoice at the idea of Derrick Henry potentially being available to him in free agency this year. So as we continue, how much is Henry selling his house for? Says BF. I don't know the answer to that question. I'll check in with Gary Ashton. Don't sell without the intel, right? Derek needs to call Gary Ashton if he's thinking about selling his home. I do know that Mike Vrabel's house got put on the market recently, but that's neither here nor there. All right, let's keep it moving. Specific players that you would be willing to spend on in free agency. So I've asked you what position group you would like to prioritize. Now I want to know what player that you would be most comfortable spending on in the free agent market this year. Let's talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch. Right after I remind you that the Primetime program is presented by the best workout that you'll get in Middle Tennessee, the best workout that you can get for free if your first time for your first time working out. Somebody said Beckton. I appreciate that, Rock. Thank you for the levity there. TrueMathFitness.com for your first workout free as a Middle Tennessee resident. Boot camp style group workout classes. I used to hate the idea of group workout classes. Now I can't work out any other way. I also go to TrueMav for personal training because TrueMav is the best. They've got an awesome coaching staff. It's a new way to work out for the best version of you. As we get closer to the warmer months, boat and beach season, spring break right around the corner. You want to make sure that you've got yourself right. TrueMav Fitness is there to help you. TrueMavFitness.com for more information. Jaime says Vrabel rooming with Bill B. No, Belichick's apparently going to go work for Peyton Manning to read the Athletics reporting today, or at least is considering it as an option. Peyton Manning is trying to basically hire Bill Belichick to do a Manning cast with Nick Saban, which would be sick. I would love that. I don't know who's going to be better at television between Manning, Brady, Bill, or Saban. I honestly think it's going to be Saban just because I think he's set up for the best possible success with a cast that he's already familiar with on College Game Day, but I love the idea of a GOAT cast for Omaha Productions with Belichick and Saban breaking down games in some form or fashion. All right, let's keep it moving on this Wednesday night. Which player would you be most comfortable spending on in free agency? Calvin Ridley says Daniel Ferris. Let's see, Foreman or Pollard? Like I said, this is your opinion. So, Chris, you're welcome to spend on Deontay Foreman or Tony Pollard, but I don't really think that you need to be spent. Nobody's going to be really spending on running backs this year, so I guess it's a matter of what the running back costs. Jaime says Patrick Queen. Given that you have Ravens defensive ties now, that would be an interesting one. Ridley and Josh Jacobs for Amar. Again, I don't think you're going to pay Josh Jacobs with – I mean, I'm almost certain that you're not going to pay Josh Jacobs with Tajay Spears on the roster, but you have financial flexibility, so who's to say? And he's only 25. Sneed says Stephen Burleson on Facebook Live. Well, L'Jarius Sneed is an interesting one. He's tagged, but they have given him, the Chiefs have given him permission to pursue a trade. So, on the one hand, they could keep their top corner. On the other, they may be able to get a godfather offer because corner is obviously a premium position. Now, my kind of, and I don't think that it's like it's an end-all, be-all policy, but I'm much less inclined to spend money on corners than I am on a wide receiver, for example. I think the shelf life for a corner is much shorter. I think that that is the hardest position in football to play, and it becomes even harder when you've got the scrutiny of a mega contract, and L'Jarius Sneed will be due a mega contract for sure at some point in the near future. I don't want somebody like Tre'Davious White who just can't stay healthy here recently. Hollywood says Ricky, Odell, Ridley, and the rest are too expensive for what they offer. You know, it's an interesting discussion, right? Because Hollywood Brown is probably going to make north on an average annual basis. Doesn't mean that his cap hit's going to be $20 million next year, but on an average annual basis, he's probably going to make $20 million. I don't think Odell at 31 is going to be in that ballpark. I would be, you know, I would think that he may get a deal closer to the one, for example, that DeAndre Hopkins signed with the Titans, which was, let me look at Hop's deal last year, just out of curiosity, on SpotTrack. and see what we have there, because I know it was a two-year deal. I know that it was backloaded in a way that made a lot of sense for the Titans at the time, given their cap situation last year. But DeAndre Hopkins on his two-year deal signed for, according to SpotTrack.com, 2 years, 26. So an average salary of $13 million. If you could get OBJ, I mean, OBJ obviously didn't make that last year with Baltimore, and it's not like he acquitted himself much more, but you're probably talking about that kind of a deal in the marketplace for OBJ. I would think, given that he, you know, and Bert, you can nod your head or shake your head in agreement or disagreement if you want, but he largely stayed healthy last year. I know he wasn't the most productive, but he was a solid role player, and that's not something that you have right now. You've got your number one wide receiver in Hopkins, and you don't really have anything else. I said this on the radio show today. I consider Burks and Phillips to be complete non-factors until such time as they prove otherwise. I just don't want to have to continue to talk about guys who don't do anything of meaning for this franchise. Now, I do think that, you know, should they get an opportunity with a new coaching staff and that their health, that their bodies don't betray them the way that they have in the past couple of seasons, then we can have a discussion about it. But like, I'm good with adding two wide receivers and getting Burks and Phillips off the field as much as humanly possible, given that they don't contribute anything meaningful since they've arrived here in the 2022 draft. But that's neither here nor there. Steven Smith says he'd be willing to spend on Calvin Ridley. It is going to be interesting. I like the idea of Calvin Ridley, even though the price, I mean, he's going to get paid at the top of the market, right? He's the best available wide receiver on the market. He's 29 years old. He's coming off a really good season with Jacksonville. He's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think there's reason to believe that he could continue to improve as he continues his return to football. Now, his best years, his prime years, are behind him, obviously, which is something that you have to keep in mind. But say you do a three-year deal with Calvin Ridley. You have Hopkins on an expiring contract, so you have to kind of create some level of consistency beyond just a ton of rookie wide receivers. Now, you could do what Green Bay has done and put together the youngest wide receiver core and hope that they grow with your quarterback, this, that, and the other. But there are definitely some speed bumps to that, yeah? I think that when you look at all the different options out on the table, Ridley makes a lot of sense because of Hopkins' expiring deal, because you would have an immediately better offense with two veteran options in 2024 with Hopkins and Ridley on the outside. You could add a draft pick, whether that's at seven, whether that's in the second round or third. Oh, well, you don't have a third round pick, whether that's on day two or day three of the draft, to supplement that wide receiver core further and get players who fit more of the profile for Brian Callahan's offense than Treylon Burks or Kyle Phillips might. Now, again, if Kyle Phillips or Treylon Burks do anything of meaning in 2024, I'm absolutely open to the idea of considering them viable, because they're still young players, and I don't think that people should just completely discount them because their body, largely because they can't stay healthy, right? That's the biggest thing with the two of them. Now, Treylon, when he was healthy, really didn't do much at all. Phillips, you know, it's a tough, like the punt return situation is such a tough thing, because I'm so in agreement with the last coaching staff that you can't have three wide receivers active on your 48-man game day roster if none of them play special teams. And that would have been the case for Treylon, Hopkins, and Phillips. So I completely understand why they shut Phillips down at the moment, even though it rankled some fans. Now, I think that Phillips may even be more viable than Treylon Burks was based on their performance. But, you know, that's something that we'll have to see play out in competition and training camp next year. But Calvin Ridley makes a lot of sense, I think. And for sure, you're going to probably hate the price tag. But think about this, guys. I mean, how much cheaper does Jeff Simmons look after signing a $100 million deal last year because of the cap? How much cheaper does A.J. Brown's deal look, what is that, the 2022 offseason, heading into 2022? That season, that's 2 years ago. How much cheaper does A.J. Brown or Tyreek Hill even look when the cap continues to rise the way that it does? And the money's only going to get greater as Netflix and Amazon Prime and Apple TV try and get in on the NFL live streamed rights, right? This is something that the networks are going to have to figure out as they try and balance their budgets, but the streamers are only going to raise the profile on that because the best way to get subscribers to your streaming platform is to put NFL football on, which, you know, is what it is. Now, if they don't get Ridley or if they don't pursue Ridley, it's not the end of the world. There's a couple viable wide receiver options that could be had for a much lower price tag, and I'm totally willing to consider that as well. You have to be willing to consider that as well. But I think that they have to come out of this free agency and draft class with probably, I mean, no less than two wide receivers, one via free agency and one via the draft. And how they go about that is going to be fascinating. And all that shit starts in a week from today. Probably going to start Monday in earnest because legal tampering will begin and you'll start to see contracts reported but not officially agreed to until the start of the new league year on March the 13th, which again is a week from today. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. Fade says Ladd McConkey is going to be our receiver. Well, Ladd McConkey is an interesting player. I don't know that he's going to be a first round pick, but I think he's one of those guys that's on the borderline. But then again, it speaks to the depth and the quality of this wide receiver draft class. You want to put them in position to succeed. BF says you wouldn't re-sign NWI. I mean, no, because you want Colton Dowell to eventually be your NWI, right? I don't think that for NWI, he was a cost-effective, reliable option. He was the second most reliable wide receiver on the team, and at times the most reliable wide receiver on the team in the past couple of years. But you don't want to have to spend money on that kind of a player when you think you have somebody like Colton Dowell or, I mean, Kyrus Jackson, I suppose, has special teams value. We'll see what happens there. Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks, like I said, they're non-factors until they start to factor in. And it doesn't mean that they can't. It doesn't mean that they won't, but it just means that they have not to date. So I'm probably good on the Nick Westbrook-Ikhina experience, even though NWI was a solid special teams player, a much improved wide receiver. You want to try and upgrade that position as much as humanly possible. So we'll see what happens with, Mason Kinsey is technically still under contract here. I know a lot of stuff and meaning all respect to Mason, because to his credit, I think he's coming up on 4 years in the NFL. Or this will either be his fourth or maybe even his fifth NFL season as a D3 wide receiver out of Berry College. So to his credit, the dude has continued to last, continued to work, continued to put himself in positions to stay on the practice squad and get opportunities on the active roster. But obviously, you want a better quality of player than a Mason Kinsey or an NWI or even than a Colton Dowell. All right. So let's wrap up with a little bit of rising and falling. Whose stock rose? Whose stock fell? This week in sports, got a really good video courtesy of the NFL for you that we'll play here in just a second, right after I remind you that the primetime program is made possible by the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Go to GaryAshton.com, get your dream address without the stress and the intel edge you need to succeed at GaryAshton.com, the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators, who had won 8 in a row until I went to the game last night and they lost. That was a tough one. Anyway. Tough way to lose 2 in overtime. I went to the bathroom. They were done by the time I got out of the urinal. It was terrible. 12 seconds into overtime, they lost. Anyway, this the Harbaugh brothers. Harbaugh brothers continue to be your favorite brothers, as the NFL phrased it. And this video is a great example of why.
Say that.
I said
you
it.
You did not
I
say
was
that.
Orders. No, you said it.
Dad
said it.
Dad said it.
Dad said it.
He repeated it.
I can't remember what
sound type.
Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me. There's so many good ones. You got amazing ones.
Was your dad the one who came up with who's got it better than us?
Yes.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, things weren't that great. No, we didn't have it that great, but we did.
First time I remember it was Iowa City, Iowa. We didn't have a car, and we had a dealer car. For some reason, that car wasn't there. Dad was taking us to school, and we walk out, and we're like, where's the car, Dad? And he goes, no car today, boys. We're walking. Grab a basketball. Let's get 100 with the right, 100 with the left. Who's got it better than us? And we're like, nobody. Nobody, Dad. We were in Iowa City again. He was dropping us off at school. We were in the back seat.
Cold.
Little guys.
Winter. Cold. Chevy Biscayne. No heater.
Car didn't have a heater. That's the car that eventually wasn't there that day. You know, it just ran out of
heat. I think it lived a long life.
It lived a good life.
Life was ended.
But that's what he would say. He would like drop us off at school. First time I heard it was, okay, boys, grab your lunch boxes and go attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And don't take any wooden nickels. Okay, get going. And out the door we go. And that became like a daily thing.
I mean, to me, like, what is an enthusiasm unknown to mankind? Like, I don't know if we ever really thought about it too much, but you start thinking about it. It's unknown to mankind. Mm-hmm. It's not a human thing. It's beyond that. It's another realm. It's a spiritual thing.
That's something I got. Yeah.
The Chargers continue to have the best social media team in the NFL, I think. And the content that is going to be produced around Jim Harbaugh is going to be laugh out loud funny. That's going to do it for us tonight. Stock down my Indiana Hoosiers. They're keeping Mike Woods and they're currently playing Minnesota right now on the road. They've won two in a row, so we'll see if they can't pull it off. I don't. They're up by 5 right now with 1:10 in the first half, but the idea that Mike Woodson is coming back next year makes me very, very sad, which of course makes some of you happy, and that's okay. We appreciate you guys spending your time with us. Radio show is going to be jam-packed, loaded tomorrow. Absolutely. You have Ron Slay, former Vols basketball player and now SEC Network pundit and, of course, 3HL. He's on the radio show because the Vols just won the SEC outright regular season title for the first time under Rick Barnes. We're going to have Josh Pate, the future commissioner of college football. We've got Greg Cosell audio for you from the Install podcast that you can get wherever you get your podcasts and also where you can watch it on the 104.5 The Zone YouTube channel, which if you're subscribed to the A to Z Sports YouTube channel, you should also be subscribed to the Zone's YouTube channel because you can watch the great interviews that we do on the radio show and all of the great clips that are produced by all four shows throughout the course of the week and the install each and every Wednesday, as is the case. If you have not gotten your tickets to the install live show, listen, guys, I don't just say this to gas it up because it's an event that I host. The tickets are going really, really fast for the install. I'm going to drop the link in the chat for you guys to be able to get your tickets because we have sold, they gave us about 270 tickets to sell for this thing. And we're doing it to support Leukemia and Lymphoma Society this year. Greg Cosell is flying in from NFL Films headquarters in Philadelphia to break down the Titans free agent and draft class that will be in the books by the time that we do this on May the 3rd. But I'm telling you, we announced this less than a week ago. And we're damn near over 100 tickets already. It's been crazy to see the response for it. So I want to make sure that you guys get as many opportunities as possible to come be a part of the fun. Like I said, we've got about 150 left between the VIP tickets, which include 2 drink tickets, dinner, and priority seating at the event. And then you can get in the door for $25. You won't find anything. You won't find anything better if you like Titans draft and free agency analysis with the best analyst, the original NFL analyst, Greg Cosell of NFL Films. So I think that you guys are really going to enjoy that. But I don't just say this because it's an event that I'm hosting. I really would get your tickets as soon as possible. There's 2 months to go, and we're already basically halfway there as far as the ticket sales. And by the way, we've got some surprises with the Titans and their staff that are going to be having some participation in the event. So if you want to get to know your staff more, your front office and your coaching staff more, I would highly suggest that you get this ticket to a one-of-a-kind event, the Install Live Podcast at the Hutton Hotel on Friday, May the 3rd. And if you're so inclined to participate in the after party, because there's an open bar at the event, but we had an after party last year at Tin Roof that was rowdy. Not kid-friendly, the Tin Roof after party, but, you know, you send the kids home after the live show. Is this kid appropriate, says BF. So it is, they'll give, if they're under 21, they'll give you a wristband just so they can't go up to the bar and order drinks, right? But yes, you can bring your kids. We had people bring sons and daughters and stuff like that last year, as I recall. So it will be a great time. Stephen King says, do the chip challenge to sell tickets again. I don't have to, baby. You guys are buying them like hotcakes, which we're very, very grateful. Very, very grateful for. Absolutely. But yeah, no, I'm not eating that damn chip again. I don't have to because the thing is a smashing success. Thank God. We appreciate your guys' support. Have a great rest of your evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on 104.5 The Zone. And if not, one more time for the week on primetime tomorrow. See you guys.